dropping knowledge bombs all over the state of Alabama.
Pew, 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 pew.
Truett News Radio, Truett News Radio. Listen to us on Truett News Radio.
Welcome to Truett News Radio. It's your weekly dose of gumption and positivity, for whatever that means. Now, here are your hosts, Tony Truett and Brock Murphy, probably the two coolest guys in the world, at least in their minds. Let it rip, fellas.
Oh, it's ripping.
Good morning.
Tony's got some technical difficulties going on. He's done something to his headphones.
Something my headphones don't want to cooperate with me this morning, but I got it now.
We're dropping knowledge bombs all over the state of Alabama and surrounding areas. Pew, pew, pew. And right as we were about to go on, we talked about a pew, and the pew is I-U-P-U-I-E-U-P-U-E, because that
great
is...
name.
Yeah, I-U-P-U-I is a school. You knew what it was.
Yeah, Indiana University, Purdue University.
Indianapolis.
Yeah, and I think they got a good mascot, too, but I can't remember.
We need to look that up. Well, the reason I looked it up, I didn't know anybody on the continent other than people maybe going there knew what that stood for, and you just knew off the top of your head, so kudos on that. But right near there, in fact, one of the promotional items about this place is that it's very close to Iwi Pui, and it is that there's a place called Stadium Lofts in Indianapolis. And
I love all these, I love development, I love construction, all that, but I really like the fact that we were just talking about like the Battery over in Atlanta.
Yeah,
a lot of these professional
right.
teams are building these huge, mixed-use entertainment-based things around their ballparks. But even like smaller towns, we got a couple of stories in here of developments
we'll get
going
into
on
them for sure.
Then I mean, look here in Birmingham. Look at what Regions Field has. You know, Railroad Park. I mean,
this is taking one that is inactive. This stadium, it's Busch Stadium. It's not active anymore, right? They didn't know what to do with this baseball field that was just an eyesore. So some folks came along and said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to enclose it. We're going to put patios on the interior part of that so that they're overlooking a baseball field that we're going to maintain, but it's no longer active, and it's called Stadium Lofts. But one of the interesting things, I was looking at the reviews, and the guy was like, man, it's a really cool place, and it's a really cool idea, but there's only one wall that has windows, and it's obviously the wall that looks out into the stadium. So he's like, it can get kind of dark. But hey, you know, for $1,470, you can try this out, a two-bedroom, two-bath there at Stadium Lofts in Indy.
Man, I like it. We just gave them a full plug. I like
sure
it.
We did.
Need to hit them up for sponsorship.
Yeah.
But, man, got a lot of energy this morning, Brock, and everybody needs to check out our podcast stuff if you can catch the back shows and all there. We had a good week on the podcast.
Yeah.
Appreciate more and more people beginning to look at that, and it's available at all the main sites out there. And if you need to contact us about anything, particularly if you would like to be a sponsor, we'd love to have you. Tony at TruettNewsRadio.com. Our pre-show sponsor thing is going on, and that's affordable. Yeah. Everybody can do it. I have
spent a lot. You can be a friend of the show.
I have spent a lot on advertising over the years, so I think this is a good deal, and we would love to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's Brock, I was on the road this week too, man. I went down 280 to Opelika calling on some people, but I ended up at Mr. Gaddy's in Opelika.
Oh, nice.
And I haven't been to Mr. Gaddy since about 86.
Yeah, for sure.
88, maybe.
I didn't know it was still around, honest.
It's a coming back, I think. They've got two now in the state. The same group did this one in Opelika, and now they've got one in Dadeville that's open up.
Pizza Pie.
It was fun. And they had a good crowd. And downtown Opelika, they got a lot of stuff going on. I went by, I saw the mayor, Gary Fuller. He's coming on in a few weeks.
Good.
That's
going
to be good. So they got a lot of things happening there in cool old downtown that's getting fixed up. It's great.
No, it is a cool downtown area. By the way, we just jumped straight into the pew pew and Iwi Pui, but this is Truett News Radio, and who are you?
Oh, I'm Tony Truett, Truett Insurance and Bonding. If we can help you with any of your business coverage, we do a lot of that. Do a lot of the surety bond stuff. I do those every day and handle that myself. So contractors, send all that to me. And home and auto, we can help with that.
Have you been Tony Truett this whole time sitting across from me?
I have.
Good heavens. This is Brock Murphy. I'm with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Love to help you out. If you're a small business, do a lot of transactional work, litigation, disputes, arbitration. And in fact, Tony, I have arbitrated cases for people and mediated cases for people. I'm on the list with the Alabama Center of Dispute Resolution. So love to help you out either way. But this is Truett News Radio.
Man, and we have a lot of stuff on here. So let's just jump into it.
Yeah.
I saw this, and we were talking about it before we got started. 7-Eleven, which isn't really, to my knowledge, throughout Alabama. There's a few of them, but not a ton. But they're a huge concern out there, ongoing business. But they just acquired 204 convenience stores from Sunoco.
Yeah.
And for a $1 billion.
Yeah. I was saying, I don't know if I'm more surprised that this was a $1 billion transaction or that Sunoco had 204 stations to sell in the first place. I've only seen a couple. You know, in Denver, there were a ton of 7-Elevens. Yeah. I mean, that was our...
Well, they're like everywhere, but oh, yeah. We just have never had them around here.
There was one corner in Aurora, I recall, where literally there was a 7-Eleven across the street from a 7-Eleven.
Huh? How about that?
Right.
They got it cornered there.
They had it cornered. Yeah. Literally, they had two of the four corners. Yeah. They had some funny little advertisements back in Denver, some of which I won't go into. But it's a big, obviously profitable business, and it's a big brand outside of the state of Alabama. But $1 billion.
Lulu's down in Gulf Shores, and now in Destin and Myrtle Beach, but 25 years in 2024. Mm. Congrats to them, Lucy Buffett.
That?
Great place if you're down there. You know, I think they're all packed all the time, and they'll probably open up some more, but congrats to all of them.
Well, you said rather casually that they're in Myrtle Beach. I didn't actually know that she went to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
That's a smart move.
Yeah.
You know, we started going to Myrtle Beach, I think it was 1974, my family and I, and my parents and grandparents went.
Back up there. I went as a kid and have never been back, and I'd love to see it.
From like 74 to probably, I don't know, 2000 or late 1990s, you know, used to go there, you know, about once a year, certainly when I was a teenager. And it was funny because, you know, we kind of watched it come up from a sleepy little town to what Myrtle Beach is. I've always kind of joked. They said Myrtle Beach is what Panama City wants to be when it grows up. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like there's a lot going on in Myrtle Beach. But I'll say this, if you're in Myrtle Beach and you're not having fun, you're not trying very hard.
Yeah. Well, man, let's get on to some Southern League baseball news because, you know, that's our league, the Barons, and the Trash Pandas.
Yeah,
we're all in the middle of this.
Yeah.
But the Mississippi Braves are going to be no more. What? They are packing up and moving from Pearl, Mississippi, all the way over to Columbus, Georgia. Huh? So that'll be for the 2025 season.
They're leapfrogging our entire state.
Yeah, so, and they wished Pearl, Mississippi well, but we're out of here.
Yeah,
you know, we're going to Columbus.
Deuces, we're out of this place. So that's forever, huh?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. So that's going on. Leadership Vestavia Hills, they're taking applications for their new class, if anybody out there wants to do that. Here was something really cool, Brock, I thought, on Mardi Gras coming up.
Yeah.
Tulane professor Tony, I guess this is Weiss. Put out a new study finding that the total direct and indirect impact of Mardi Gras on the New Orleans economy is basically $900 million.
Yeah.
That event.
Is that forever or is that just in one Mardi Gras season?
No, that's one Mardi Gras season is the way I'm taking it, which equals basically a little over 3% of New Orleans' gross domestic product.
Wow.
That one event
is
generating that. But they said that the net fiscal benefit accrued to the city of New Orleans as a result of all of this. Now, I don't know what this is, including franchise value.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
I don't know, because this number is so much smaller than
that's over $28 million. At the city's return on investment is $2.64 for every dollar spent.
$2.64.
But here was the other thing. In addition, the carnival season generates more than $14 million in state tax revenues.
Wow.
Again, just that one event has that kind of impact. That's interesting. And I've never been.
Yeah, well, I you know, I remember back when I was young enough to think that it would be fun to be around a lot of people having fun.
Yeah.
I remember even back then people were like, "Well, look, man, you know, when it gets super super crowded, you'll be in a crowd that's so tight that you're moving but your feet aren't on the ground. Like, I don't want any part of that."
Man, even back then I didn't really want to be in it, but now I would love if I could be on one of those balconies
looking down, watching
it'd be fun, being in the actual crowd, I don't want any part of that.
You know, your boys are interested in film. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. Create Birmingham is a group here in town. And in fact, we reached out to them, and this is a reminder to myself to go reach out to them again and get them on.
They'd be great.
They have their finger in shoots and films and movies that are going on, things that are going on in the film industry around Birmingham, the surrounding areas. They're hosting, it's free, by the way, a Film Birmingham workshop on January 30th. So those seeking to, quote, start their journey into the film world, this would be a good place to go. They're going to have local industry experts who will discuss their stories and instruct participants down their paths.
We went to the first one a couple of months ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they had all the colleges, Jack State and North Alabama and Montevallo, but Ole Miss was there and a couple others from out of state. But they had their kind of film department or cinema arts department, whatever it was, people there. It was really interesting listening and talking to people because a lot of the professors have been involved in movie industry for a while before they started teaching. So it was interesting to kind of talk to hear how they have created a, you know, path or a career out of it.
It's funny. Both of us have been extras in movies. Like in my case, the movie will never be seen. And even as we were filming it,
I saw it though. I just didn't realize you were in it. I got to go back and look.
I was just sitting there thinking as we were filming it, you know, who's ever going to watch this movie?
But who was in it?
Julianne Hough. She was in it. And in fact, one of the scenes that I was in as an extra, I was a waiter who kind of initiated action on that scene and delivered an Olympia beer to the table, which was only important because she ends up calling in this scene is how she's the one that generates that the title of this big weightlifting or bodybuilding event will be called Mr. Olympia. Yeah. It was off that beer. But my instruction was that I would turn a corner, put the beer on the table, and then make friendly eye contact with Julianne Hough, smile and make friendly. So we probably did 20 takes. So 20 different times I turned a corner and made friendly smile and friendly eye contact with Julianne Hough. Yeah. How about that?
I would see if my lazy eye would like just go a little bit crazy with her.
But my point in bringing that up actually was that we've been extras, both of us, in two films that, you know, you Big Fish was a lot bigger than the one I was in, which was just called Bigger. But the point is,
but your other story from Bigger that I love is the everybody would know this guy. I can't remember his name, but he was the bad guy.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he was the bad guy in Walking Tall. He was the one that cut up the Rock. You know, he was in 310 to Yuma. He's been in a ton of stuff that you recognize him. But you've had an exchange with him.
Well, so I was getting ready for his scene. His scene was going to be outside of Cafe DuPont, and he's just a really bad guy in that movie. His character was, and he was going to be a fight scene. I didn't know it at the time, but I was getting dressed because my extra character was going to be that I was going to be with a date, and we were going to be waiting at the hostess table inside a Cafe DuPont for a table, and the fight was going to go on the other side of the window from us. Well, I'm getting my, you know, clothes on for that that part, and trying different things on, and Kevin Durant comes out of his trailer. He doesn't know how to tie a tie, which I'm not trying to tell on him. A lot of people don't. And so he asked if anybody knew how to tie a tie. So I said, well, yeah, I do. You know, I've been an attorney for a while. And so I grab his tie and tie it around my neck and loosen it up and give it back to him. And he was real thankful and introduces himself as Kevin Durant. He says, look, man, just please don't evaluate me based on my character because I'm a monster in this thing. But I promise you, I'm a good guy.
I don't know, man. I've never seen him as anybody's love interest in a movie or any of that. He's always the bad guy.
Well, the funny part is the first time they do the fight scene, you know, it's right behind us. And of course, my, you know, quote unquote date and I, we have to turn around and feign surprise. And as the scene comes to an end, the cops have pushed him up against the window that's literally right next to us. So my face is 2 feet away from him. And so as they call cut, he kind of comes to and looks through the window and sees me and kind of comes to a surprise. He's like, hey man, I got your tie on.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty funny. Cool. Yeah.
Hey, man, our fight or die update. I'm still amazed at this. When we had them on, if for people not listening, these are the folks rowing across the Atlantic Ocean.
3,000 miles.
In the world's toughest row competition, but they're raising money for veteran issues and all that.
Yeah.
And, they actually put out a thing, I think yesterday, that they've exceeded their fundraising goal.
Oh, good.
So that's fantastic. But if anybody wants to get involved, check them out. It's Fight or Die, O-A-R, you know, like the rowing. But when we had them on, I didn't realize that it started December the 12th.
Yes.
That's when they started rowing. They are still out there rowing.
Oh, yeah.
And they have about 800 and I'm going to say 50-ish nautical miles left before they are done. And, I mean, we're over a month later. They've been out there every day rowing across the Atlantic.
You can actually follow them. There's an app where you can follow them and see where all the different boats are. And last night they were, to your point, 850 nautical miles.
But again, the big thing, they've not that they won't take more money, so please give if you're thinking about it. But they're raising money for veterans' mental health issues. And all the guys rowing the team, they're all ex-military, and I think that's super cool. But Joe, Dave, Craig, and Guy are the team. So, man, congrats to them.
You know, we mentioned last week that one of the teams, it was a trio out of the United Kingdom. It's three United Kingdom females. Their boat is called Vibe, the Wave. And they're the ones that, you know, noticed on a pretty day that there was a blue marlin out there. And I would have thought that's pretty cool. And in fact, some of these, you know, they've been doing the World's Toughest Row Instagram and Facebook page has been keeping people informed about this. And they've been saying that lately there's been some nice weather, fortunately, and that there's been some neat wildlife interactions, pods of dolphins, whales. But apparently when Vibe the Wave saw this marlin, they instantly tensed up, and for good reason. The Marlin literally pierced their boat.
They apparently have a nasty disposition. I didn't know that about the Blue Marlin.
But. So, well, anyway, they there was a safety boat there, and they, you know, were very, very quick in understanding that this particular object on the boat, if we wrap it in duct tape, we can put that in there and it will seal it. And the safety boat had, I think, some epoxy to kind of seal that off. They're 1,133 nautical miles away, so they're not quite into the last quarter or the last third of this row. But they had a video that they posted where two of them were rowing, the other one was just sitting there kind of filming, and they were just going into just singing songs that had the word love in them.
Yeah.
And it was literally, you're kind of looking at them going, I think they're having fun. I mean, they seem to be smiling and laughing, but they also seem to possibly just be, at this point, zombies.
I'm telling you, I just can't imagine, you know, again, how hard that would
days.
Be.
30 days, yeah.
Anyhow, man, Brock, the UK pizza wars.
Oh, yeah, everybody's talking about them.
Yeah, first there was the Blitz and
the Battle of Britain.
Yeah, now there's the UK pizza wars. But yeah. Boss Pizza, I love that name.
Yeah.
Boss Pizza, I saw a thing where they have announced they just signed a new master franchising agreement for the London market.
Ooh.
So as Truett News Radio keeps expanding and we get into the London market, going to realize, we're going to know where to go eat some pizza.
Shots fired, for heaven's sakes. You know, we had Ibby Dixon on last week. She's Miss Historic Springfield.
Again, I've gotten all kinds of compliments on her. She was
fantastic. Prior to that, we've had Emmy Baldwin, but we also had Elena Burt. And Elena Burt was the one who's originally Miss Jefferson County's teen, and then she won Miss Alabama's teen. And she and Miss Alabama are in Orlando. This week they went through the preliminaries, both Bree Burrell as Miss Alabama and
They've
Elena Burt.
Been winning some stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It turns out Bree Burrell, I think it was Wednesday, she was one of the preliminary winners in the nightgown competition. So she actually won that event in the preliminaries. And Elena was one of the three winners in the talent competition.
Yeah.
She does ballet to a song out of the stage presentation, Oklahoma, and it just has always done very, very fantastic job at that. But a reminder, she's a fantastic ballet person in addition to a licensed pilot, right?
Yeah.
And she's a Renaissance woman. But today is the finals for both of them, for both Bree Burrell and the Miss America, and for Elena and Miss America's teen. So prayers up and thoughts for them. Hope everything goes well. Kicks off at 6 o'clock our time tonight.
Hey, C.S. Beatty Construction, they're hiring. They're looking to add a new contract administrator to their team here in Birmingham.
Oh, yes.
That's a booming construction company. And from what I understand, really, really good people. So that'd be a good opportunity for somebody. Mm. C.S. Beatty Construction.
Yeah, how about that? Good heavens.
What else we got here? The World of Concrete is celebrating 50 years out in Las Vegas, the big convention out there. Last year, they had over 48,000 people show up.
48,000.
And there is a lot of Alabama folks go to that with all the construction companies we have here. And that's going on here in a couple of weeks, January 23rd to the 25th in Vegas. You know, be safe and good luck with everybody going out there.
Yeah, that's a fact. Hey, the Thomas Jefferson Tower, that's the tower downtown that's not quite with the rest of the high-rises.
Yeah.
It's closer to I-65, and it has what on the top most people would presume to be an approximation of the Eiffel Tower. But it turns out, Tony, you knew this. That's actually a tower to which they were going to attach Zeppelins.
Yeah.
So, like, the Hindenburg, you know, they built it so that the Hindenburg could dock there, you know?
Which is still amazing to me that Birmingham, Alabama has something like that.
Yeah,
but it's there.
Well, we had it, by golly. I mean, they were hoping to get those big Zeppelins, and then about the time it was built, they were no more. But that tower just sold for $16 million. It's previously, it was renovated into apartments. And I think I'm correct that Roots and Revelry, which is a very good restaurant, I think it's still active there. So, I think whoever purchased this
has a beautiful building.
It's a beautiful building with, again, I think a vibrant restaurant that's at the base level. If I'm correct, we need to go there because I've heard it's a very, very good place.
Well, hey, let's go to the Truett Insurance and Bonding Hotline and talk with Mike Ross. Mike, are you there?
Hello, Mike.
I am here.
Hey, good morning, man. Thanks for being part of the show.
Listen, honored to be a part.
Hey, well, this is Mike Ross. He's the head honcho of fast-growing CBS Bank, or CBNS Bank, which the Truett operation is a very small customer of, and y'all do a great job for us. But y'all are really interesting to me because of your footprint. You've got a lot of branches, but you go down to about Montgomery ish kind of line across the state in Alabama, but you're in Mississippi, Tennessee, and you have new places opening all the time. Just tell us kind of a background of the bank and how you got involved, and you know, little of the lending environment. We'll go through all of it.
And does your card actually say head honcho?
Yeah.
No, I can assure you, my card does not say head honcho. I'm just proud to be a member of the team.
There we go.
But, of course, you asked me a handful, and you don't want me on all day, but I'll try to make a very long story as short as possible.
Well, there's a lot of good news coming out of there.
In my attorney hat, I would object and ask you which one of these questions you want him to answer.
Our bank is headquartered in Russellville, Alabama, and we were founded in 1906. We've had a tradition of growth, and as far as our footprint today, you touched on it. As far as our southernmost border is in and around Montgomery. Tony, as you referenced, we have two offices in Tallahassee.
Yep.
And we're proud to serve you there. And
the treasurer of the Tallapoosa.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely. So I grew up in Montgomery. So I played basketball against Tallahassee High School in the Tallahassee gym.
Okay,
how about that?
Was very, very familiar with Tallahassee, long before we opened up shop there. But we have offices all throughout. Once you get out of the River Region, jump up to Birmingham. We've got an office just opened brand new in Office Park, mm-hmm. Right there on 280. And we have an office out on Doug Baker Boulevard, down in Shelby County off 280.
And y'all are redoing, you have one in Tuscaloosa, but you're working on a new one, or you're going to move them there. Is that right?
Well, you're absolutely correct. We actually bought the old Plot Law Office that's right next door to City Hall on University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
And it's a fabulous old building. We're renovating it, and we are planning on opening up and starting to do business out of that office in late March or early April. So we're real excited about that. Also, before I leave the central part of Alabama, we haven't announced it yet, or we have announced it in Auburn, but we have purchased a lot in Auburn, and we are having a groundbreaking ceremony there, as a matter of fact.
Man, that's great.
And yeah, we're 2 weeks from now we'll be doing groundbreaking there, and we've hired a fantastic team. Frankly, we've got a fantastic team across our footprint, but
yeah,
we're real excited about operating out of Auburn as well.
Man, I tell you, that's a booming area.
For sure.
I think that's not that you need my opinion on it, but that's a wise move getting into that market.
Well, thank you. We're really excited about it, our business is not unlike most businesses. It's all about people, and we felt very fortunate to be able to recruit one of the best bankers in Auburn, and he's been with us now for about a year, is already doing a lot of business, and he doesn't even have an office to operate out of yet. So we're going to get him an office, and he's going to be real dangerous at that point.
then you'll see.
Yeah. We're in Birmingham. We're in Huntsville. We're all throughout Northwest Alabama. You know, Franklin County is obviously our home.
Yeah.
We've got a couple offices over in Lawrence County. We're in the Shoals, in both Lauderdale and Colbert. And then we're in Mississippi. We've got offices and I'm not going to name them all because I'll leave somebody out unintentionally, but we've got 17 offices in Mississippi, spanning from close to the border all the way over to Greenville, which is on the Mississippi River. And then you jump up into Tennessee, and again, same thing. I'm not going to try to name them all, but we're in the to the west. We're in a little small town called Whiteville, just outside of Memphis. And then to the north and east, we're in Murfreesboro, which has been a big growth market for us.
Well, this is Truett News Radio, folks. You're listening to us, and we're thankful that you are. We're on the air right now with Mike Ross, the president and CEO of CB&S Bank, which, by the way, I thought it was interesting. I looked at the bank story, and I saw that there came a point where y'all realized there were a lot of Citizens Bank, so it changed to CB&S, which I think I understand is Citizens Bank and Savings. But I love the story that the bank started back in Russellville. I think it was to serve local area farmers for a total of $25,000 put together to serve that community, and boy, how things have grown since then.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and you've obviously done your homework. $25,000 was raised among approximately 30 shareholders back in 1906.
Wow!
And today that was our beginnings, and today we're 56 offices in 3 states and a $2.5 billion bank.
That's incredible. So, well, kudos to you and the entire gang. That is an accomplishment.
With the growth that you're seeing and the investments that you're making in new branches and renovations and all, I take it that you're bullish on the economy and the lending environment. What do you kind of see on that?
Yeah, well, so we're bullish on the South. Clearly, when the Federal Reserve started raising interest rates a couple of years ago, coming out of the pandemic, the economy was going great guns, and so the Fed tried to slow it down, and they've done an outstanding job. They have slowed it, and inflation's come down, not quite to their target from what they're saying, but we've seen we are still seeing in our lending money and. And we've got a nice pipeline of lending opportunities, although our pipeline is not quite as robust as it was a year or so ago. And for those listeners out there that are needing to borrow money, we would love to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, man, it's again, y'all are, I don't know if what listing it is, but as far as just fast growing stuff and all that, you got to be, you know, kind of one of the tops in Alabama with what you're doing. And I know I was at a real estate thing a few weeks ago too, and they're all panicked about where to get money and, you know, for projects. And we've, a few of the people we've had on actually are, have pushed projects off because they're worried about, you know, can the project carry itself, at these rates and things like that. So, I think everybody out there, I will say this much. I mean, again, our Tallahassee part, the folks at the CB&S Bank down there, everybody's been first class and super good to work with. And I would think that carries across the whole brand. And I would encourage you to talk to you guys for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're very kind to say so. And Clay Peters heads our Tallahassee operation, and he does a fabulous job. So, and yeah, we're real proud of our entire team across the footprint. We've got a very experienced team, and you know, we try to do things the old-fashioned way. Just make sure we do the right thing by the customer every day.
Yeah.
And if we do that consistently over long periods of time, all the rest will take care of itself.
Well, it's really relationships, right? You move into these different communities, you introduce yourself and become part of the community and develop those relationships. And from there, to the degree that there are the commercial opportunities, I guess they present themselves. But certainly you are diving into and starting relationships in some really important communities, I think, with Tuscaloosa and Auburn. And as you know, go across the borders into, I mean, I realize with Memphis, as it drips down into Mississippi, that's a really important market too.
Let me ask this too. If you know, just from as you're the leader of the bank, I mean, what's the plan or what goes into it? Say like in Alabama, you're across, you know, again, if you drew the line kind of across Montgomery up, is there thought to go south, or would you rather be in Tennessee, or is it just where opportunities present themselves? What all is kind of in your thinking of how to grow the bank?
Well, great question. We just want to be opportunistic, and I've been with the bank approximately not quite 7 years now, and had the great honor of following a gentleman by the name of Dennis Upchurch, who was our CEO for 27 years. When the board was interviewing me, they said, "Well, gosh, if we offered you the job, what would you try to do?" And so if you look at the landscape of banking in the South, there are we're a small town bank ourselves at our core. So there are roughly 200 banks in the states of Alabama, Mississippi, and Tennessee that are not headquartered in the large metropolitan areas that are $250 million in total assets or less. And they're typically owned by a family or a handful of families and run by baby boomers. Their boards are baby boomers. They're getting close to trying to figure out next steps, and sons or daughters sometimes aren't necessarily interested in the old family bank, and
sure. So
they're looking to sell them.
Yeah,
and we're trying to position ourselves as a acquirer of choice. We've made quite a few acquisitions during our time, and so we want to try to. Again, position ourselves as an acquirer of choice for those type banks, and then combine that with expansion in the metropolitan markets. And before I got to CBNS, where I cut my teeth in the business was on the commercial end of the business, and spent a lot of my career at the old South Trust Bank in the.
Yeah,
in the commercial banking areas, and so we feel good about our abilities to be able to add commercial lending talent in the metropolitan markets to really complement what we're going to do in the small towns.
Yeah, well, hey, Mike, we got to wrap up and run. We're out of time, but man, thanks so much for being on with us this morning and talking about CBNS. Again, super good operation. Keep up the good work and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks,
guys,
Mike.
Thanks for asking me, and y'all have a great weekend yourselves.
Okay, yeah, see ya.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's Mike Ross, the president and CEO of CB&S Bank. Boy, a lot of good things going on throughout the state and bleeding over into the neighboring states.
I bet he was a defensive menace on the basketball court.
I bet he was, yeah, against the Tallahassee.
Yeah,
What's Tallahassee's mascot?
Tigers.
The Tallahassee Tigers.
Yeah, Tallahassee Tigers.
The Tallahassee Tigers were the treasure of the Tallapoosa?
I think it's down there. You got the Real Town Rebels.
Yeah? Oh, nice.
And then the Tallahassee Tigers.
Yeah.
That's a heated area. But Real Town's has been really good the last few years.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So interesting.
They've got a big rodeo. They always have a big Real Town rodeo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, let me tell you about Truett Insurance and Bonding real quick. We would love to work with you, particularly contractors, on your bond needs. We do a lot of that every day, so keep me in mind for that. And then business coverage, work comp, general liability, auto, cyber, all that stuff. We'll be glad to help you with that, too. Send it on to us, Truett Insurance and Bonding.
Do it with Truett.
Brock, one of my favorite... I know everybody's probably seen this week, but I couldn't let it go without talking about Paul Giamatti winning the Golden Globe and going to In-N-Out.
With it
in hand. He's sitting at the table with his burgers animal style and the Golden Globe in his tux.
He
went straight from the place down. I think they said this is the Westwood location out there, but I thought that was just great. Everybody else is sitting around having their thing, and there's a world famous actor right there with you. But I thought that was great, and you mentioned it. The photo of Mick Jagger at the dive bar in Charlotte. This year's equivalent to that.
That's exactly right. This is the exact same thing. Yeah, it's as though he leaves the thing and he thinks there's got to be more to the world than winning the Golden Globe. I guess I'll just go to In-N-Out Burger with it in hand. I mean, literally, it's on the table as he's eating a burger.
He may be the best actor out there, by the way. And did you know? I mean, a lot of people don't know this. It was his dad was the Major League Baseball commissioner.
I did not know that. Yeah. I should have known that. Yeah, for heaven's sakes.
How about that? Hey, where's my note here? I was looking for Publix. They just opened in their eighth state. They got their first one open in Kentucky in Louisville. And congrats to them. But also Dan McMurray, he's my neighbor down the street. But his company, Southern Case Arts, out in Bessemer, Alabama, a ton of this for all the convenience stores and grocery stores and all that. But Southern Case Arts, they do all the refrigerated, holders, whatever you call it.
Yeah,
for the product placement in all these stores. So they've teamed up with Publix on that. Congrats to all of them. But Publix just keeps growing.
Oh, keeps on growing. Hey, listen, this might not be as vicious. It might not be as malicious as the famous British pizza wars of 2024. Yeah. But the duel right now between the Tremont condo, right, and then the big apartment.
Is that just Alabama? Is it going to be the Tremont, or is it the Tremont?
Oh, Tremont.
I don't know. I'm going with Tremont here in Birmingham.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think we'll call it Tremont, but it might be that to some Europeans it would be Tremont.
Well, that's going to be. It's going to be a cool addition.
Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So the Tremont's the building that's the one that's going to be 28 units, right? Kind of on the other side of the Crescent building where Sirota is. But then to your point, you said that you got the Daniel who's building the apartment project where Western used to be. I don't know. Does that have a name yet? That project?
I don't think that has a name yet, but I like the renderings of that. It's going to absolutely be visible. So both of these are going to be very visible on each side of the expressway.
Yeah.
As you pass through the cut there. And so good for them. David Silverstein with a Five Stone Group, that he was, huge into Bear Properties and all the projects they did with the Summit and on that, and the Crescent building.
Okay.
There. Yeah. And in fact, this is being built on the site of Bear's former office.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So,
that's interesting. Cool. Well, Highlands is already a cool community, and this is just going to, raise the stakes even higher.
Hey, and congrats to show alum Dr. Amy Tate with Riverview Animal Clinic. I thought this was kind of cool. She was able to sponsor locally the Hoover Library, Riverview, and Alabama Public Television all went together, and they had a kind of, I guess, a pre-showing of season 4, episode 1.
A watch party.
Yeah, a watch party. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Of All Creatures Great and Small, which I wasn't familiar with, but apparently has a massive following on PBS.
We might be the only people who don't know about it.
Man, they got 200,000 people on a newsletter to follow this, but it follows, is it James Herriot's adventures? He's a veterinarian in 1930s England, Yorkshire Dales. I don't know. Huh. A lot of people following it, though. But I thought it was great. Amy stepped up and was a part of that. And she said they had a really good turnout and had a lot of fun doing it. So
All
good
creatures,
for them.
Great and small. Yes. You know, Tony, I discovered this week we might not be that cool. I should have discovered it possibly earlier for me. But the Hangout Festival just released its list of entertainers who will be, the bands that will perform at this year's Hangout Festival.
Yeah.
And I officially know one of them.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple that I didn't realize, like Nelly. Yeah. I mean, I know who Nelly
is. That's the only one I knew.
I knew Cage the Elephant. That's one of those names that I like, Cage the Elephant, but the rest of them, and I'm sure they're fantastic, but it does show that we are aging out because I don't know any of them.
Yeah, I used to know, like, if there was a list like this, I knew all of them.
Yep.
Lana Del Rey, she's going to be there. Zach Bryan, who I was saying I maybe have heard of him before, but I might be thinking Zach Brown. I'm not sure. Odessa, and that's all capitals, by the way. Odessa, Tony. Odessa. The Chainsmokers. Dominic Fike, Renee Rapp, Subtronics, Jesse Murph, A Day to Remember, Dom Dalla, Doshi, I think you would say it, and then Nelly. There's several others, but I only knew Nelly.
Yeah. Hey, congrats to show alum Panini Pete Blohm down in Baldwin County in Mobile. His PP Hospitality Group just keeps growing. They bought a new building and it's going to be the corporate office there in Spanish Fort.
5,000 square feet. Yeah.
Man, that's great for them. But the thing I thought was really cool on this, Squid Ink, which is one of their things down in Mobile, it was just named Employer of the Year by the Alabama Institute for the Deaf and Blind.
Yeah, that's
They've
cool.
got four employees with visual impairments that they do. He does a lot of good stuff like that. So, man, go out and support.
He's just a good dude.
It really is. And, they got several brands down there, so get out and support them and help them out.
I watched this week specifically Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, the Triple D with Guy Fieri, because we had promoted and talked about on this show a few weeks ago that Panini Pete was going to be on with Guy, and I actually watched the two episodes of two of the Mobile groups. The one that Pete was prominently featured on and essentially co-hosted with Guy in terms of that location was the Noble South, and it's a fantastic place. Go to the Noble South. But the other one was the Hummingbird Way, and it's sort of off on the beaten path. I mean, it's like it's a little house. It's in a community. If you don't look twice, you might miss it. But in that one, guy got out of the car as he was sort of celebrating that he was there and about to go inside. And Panini Pete sort of did a almost like a bicycle bell drive-by on a bicycle. They exchanged pleasantries for about 3.5 seconds, and then he went off into the sunset.
That's funny. Yeah. Hey, we're running a little behind, but let's go back to the Truett Insurance and Bonding Hotline and talk with Jeremy Friedman.
Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy, you with us?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, how are you? Sorry, man. We're running a couple of minutes late, but I'm getting around to you. But, man, thanks so much for joining us. This is Jeremy Friedman, who is CEO of Stoic Equity Partners down in – y'all are based in Daphne, right?
We are.
Yeah.
That's right, Daphne.
Well, man, it
started in Fairhope and currently officed in Daphne and buying properties all around the southeast.
So man, it's a lot of fun. Well, that's what I was going to say, man. Y'all are making some noise here in the real estate world, and you know, it's becoming, I guess, a more challenging time with the lending environment. I was saying a little earlier in the show, I was at a real estate meeting not too long ago, and everybody, all the developers, everybody involved were worrying about where the money's coming from and all that. So tell us, one, kind of how y'all got started. I know a little bit of your background, but, you know, how you formed this company and the properties you're kind of looking for and really, you know, what you see on the horizon.
They may have had a meeting or two in a Panini Pete enterprise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? We don't know, yeah.
Well, it's good to hear you guys talking about Pete. He's a good friend and great restaurateur and great guy. So,
yeah, for sure.
But to give you a little background, my partner Grant Reeves and myself, we started Stoic a few years ago. We were both commercial real estate brokers, and we really saw a need in the market for institutional grade investments for people that aren't institutions and don't have hundreds of millions of dollars. So we began by syndicating some investments in industrial and self-storage properties.
Okay.
And these are investments that we might have anywhere from 8 to 10 investors that, you know, put anywhere from $50,000 to $200,000 in each, right? And so We identify the properties, we underwrite the properties, we get them under contract, do our due diligence, we syndicate together a group of like-minded investors to go out and purchase the properties, and then we manage the properties for the group. This really went well. We've got 10 assets currently owned in the portfolio using this model, and we recently just launched, you may know, a fund to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So this fund we're going to raise $25 million in equity. We're going to leverage it up to roughly $75 million, and we're going to purchase 7 to 11 assets. We're currently focused, you know, supply and demand is such a strong rule of economics.
Oh,
and
sure.
We're focused solely on one of the most undersupplied forms of real estate and one of the highest demand forms of real estate, and that is flex industrial office warehouse parks.
Gotcha.
You know, if you ask anybody that needs an office in a warehouse, hey, you know, where's your office or where's your warehouse? And they're going to tell you, man, we had a hard time finding one, but, we're over here. Nobody's built this stuff in 30 years.
Yeah.
Rates are low, so it doesn't really, especially with higher construction costs these days, it's really hard to develop this stuff new. We're buying it below what it would cost us to replace it, and we're able to push rents a little bit and do a little, you know, CapEx and deferred maintenance and really improve the performance of the property. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. But
hey, you're listening to Truett News Radio, and we're on the air right now with Jeremy Friedman, the CEO of Stoic Equity Partners. And I love that you'd gotten together and just identified that there is this niche in the market. I looked at the website and noticed that these properties were sort of, I think, as you call it, this Flex Industrial. And for the folks out there, I mean, dig a little deeper. Like, what is it that you're talking about, and what's unique in terms of what you like, and the folks who you're working with and representing in terms of focusing
like
on that?
Like, when you say Flex Industrial Space, you know, break that down a little bit as to, for people listening, as to, I guess, the size of the properties and things like that.
Sure.
Yeah, perfect. So Flex Industrial is really just a fancy word for office warehouse, right?
Yeah.
We also call it the mullet of commercial real estate. So it's business up front.
Yeah.
You know, you drive in the front of the park, and there's nice storefronts, and people have offices or showrooms. And then you pull around back, and there's roll-up doors and dock-high doors and warehouses,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure.
So business up front and party in the back, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, typically we're targeting properties that are around 50 to 150,000 square feet. And these have suites in them that range anywhere, usually from, say, 2 to 10,000 square feet of each suite. So these are all multi-tenant. That's really important to us because it helps mitigate vacancy risk. It's, you know, these are the places where, you know, your HVAC contractors
are
located, your
pest control companies,
pest control, engineering firms. You know, we call it, this is where business gets done, and we feel it's extremely insulated from the whole work from home trend, because if you need a warehouse space, it's kind of hard to go work from your spare bedroom.
Right.
So, you know, so that's another thing. You know, most of the markets we go into, and we're all around the SEC region. That's what we call it anyway.
Yeah.
And currently have properties in Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. The first property that we'll put into the fund that we're under contract is in Louisville, Kentucky, and then another property in Jackson, Mississippi. So I actually have the first two acquisitions for the fund put together, and it totals about 300,000 square feet in those two markets.
Oh, wow. Man, that's great. It's how do you locate these? I mean, do you just call, like develop a broker network, and they tell you, you know, hey, this is coming up, or are y'all on the ground in these markets looking around, or, you know, how do you find them?
Yes and yes. And so Grant and I were brokers for many years, and so, you know, we value what a broker can bring to the table.
Sure.
A lot of people in our business are out cold calling owners of properties, and we do a fair amount of that. But, you know, what we've found is that each market we want to go in, and we're in, you know, we're in the kind of what we would call secondary cities in the Southeast. So they're, you know, 500,000 to 1.5 million people in the MSA. And you know, there's usually one or two really active brokers in the product type that we're wanting to buy, right? So it's very easy for us to identify who's active, go and develop a relationship with them. We'll database the entire market. We'll go to them and we'll say, hey, these properties we're interested in. And most of the time they already have a relationship with those owners. So they already, you know, bring them tenants or talk to them or have sold other properties or maybe even sold them the properties that we now want to acquire. So so for them, they can pick up the phone and get Bob on a call immediately, whereas we may call 100 times to get Bob on a call. And then he's like, well, now who are you?
Yeah, sure.
So
sure.
Most of the properties we buy are off market, but through a broker. So they know what we're looking for. They bring us opportunities sometimes before they hit the market or go direct to the owner that, you know, of a property we're interested in and get us that relationship. So that is, you know, we feel like, and then those guys manage the properties for us. They're the boots on the ground in the market. They're our leasing agents in the market because again, specific local market knowledge is incredibly important.
Sure.
So they know, hey, we can sell it to Stoic, and we can retain management, we can retain leasing, and, you know, one day we may get to sell it for Stoic. So
Yeah.
It's a good relationship, and we've built a good network of brokers through these markets that we want to acquire more properties.
Well, that's a good way to leverage already existing relationships rather than to challenge them. I mean, that's a good model.
Yeah. Hey, and man, it sounds like everything's going great, and you got a big future, particularly this fund going. Can you have two funds going at once? That's a question. It seems like everybody has one, completes that one, and then starts a new one. Are there rules around that?
You know, I would say it's less of a rule than an ethic. I mean, you know, we feel if we were going to have two funds that played in two different
markets,
you know, different asset classes or markets, you know, that would be okay. But the way we look at it is any property we find while we have a fund open, any property we find that will fit the box that fund, you know, defines, that the fund has, you know, it goes to the fund.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, and yes, we would like to fill this fund up and go to fund two.
I got you.
But it's not outside of the realm of possibility to eventually have multiple funds operating at the same time, but in different asset classes, different strategies.
Sure. Yeah. It makes sense.
Well, man, I tell you what, keep up the good work. We got to run. We're running out of time for the show, but, you know, hope to meet you in person sometime.
Yes,
sounds like
sure.
Y'all got a lot of good stuff happening
and
just keep doing it.
Well, man, guys, thanks for having me on. It's a lot of fun, and keep up the good work. Y'all are helping to promote a lot of good people through these markets, and I appreciate it.
Well,
all right, Jeremy.
Yeah, thanks so much.
See you, man.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Jeremy Friedman, the CEO of Stoic Equity Partners. And I didn't know much about them coming on.
They're absolutely heading in the right direction with what they're doing. But hey, I wanted to shout out to Reagan Taylor.
Oh, Reagan.
With the Horseshoe Bend High School Generals in Newsite, Alabama.
Yeah.
She just scored her 2,000th point during a win over Beulah.
In basketball,
2,000 points in your high school career. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah, they stopped the game right in the middle when she did that. I looked her up. Turns out she's a heck of a volleyball player, too. Matter of fact, the article that was written on her was basically like, everybody knows about Reagan and what she's done, and she's basically the foundation and keystone of this high school. But here she actually did 2,000 points. She had 666 kills in volleyball in her career with the Generals on the volleyball court, too. So it is an outstanding athlete, apparently.
Yeah. Hey, they're building a new Jacks. That's one of my favorites. I'm a big fan of Jacks.
Yeah.
But they're building a new Jacks down in Loxley, just south of County Road 64, which if you took that turn onto County Road 64, you would go by the Truett Insurance and Bonding Office end of it. So that should be your markers, I think.
Yeah. Took a dive into the Sports Illustrated Time Machine.
What did they have to say?
It was January 12th, 1959. The cover was an NHL player I'd never heard of. But I thought this was interesting. One entire article was on the entire curling schedule for the year, right, in the sport of curling. Two, they had an entire article, Tony, on A Gentle Way with Curries, it was entitled.
Yeah.
Right? Said not everyone can enjoy the fiery Oriental curry dishes. Here's a milder but still exotic recipe, which is a true curry. And then they had another article that caught my mind. It said, how basketball players look under glass. And it said, photographer Hy Peskin, which is just a great name, H-Y, Hy Peskin.
Yeah.
He actually sat on a steel backboard support and photographed a game through one of the clear backboards, right? It must have been brand new technology.
I was going to say, he probably stopped when Daryl Dawkins got into the league smashing backboards.
Yeah, his quote was, it took a little while before I stopped flinching each time the ball flew up at me. I was only a few feet from the glass backboard. The players got used to my presence quickly, and I'm sitting there thinking, but did they, though? I mean, literally, every time you go and do a layup or shoot a jump shot, there's a guy literally 2 feet behind the backboard. Anyway, that was interesting, and the deep dive into 1959 Sports Illustrated.
Man, I was going to say congrats to Amelia Haston. She's the daughter of our friend Tripp Haston.
Yes, for sure.
She has gotten a seat on the junior board at the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Alabama, so that's great for her. She works over at Wallace Jordan with our buddies Philip Corley, who we talk about from time to time, and Keith Hamilton just joined up with them. So
that's great.
Congrats to her.
Man, love that. Can't believe I can't believe that we're old enough that Tripp has a daughter who has accomplished all that.
Happened
that's
more
amazing.
And more. Another one My friend Emma Abele, she's been on the junior board and has been the president at the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Alabama, but she's just got a new job. She's going to be a business development associate at H&S Partners.
Holy cow, I hear some music. Who are you?
I'm Tony Truitt, Truitt Insurance and Bonding.
Oh, I'm Brock Murphy with Brock G. Murphy Law Firm. Love to help you out if you're a small business that specializes in construction. Tony, did you know?
Did you know fartlek training is a Swedish methodology for runners? It literally means speed play in Swedish. The athlete sprints at maximum intensity, followed by periods of easy jogging.
Did not know this. Did you know the most successful pirate in history was a Chinese woman? From 1801 to 1810, Xing Shi, Mistress Zheng, had a fleet of about 400 ships at its peak in 1805.
Did you know one day on Venus is longer than 1 year on the Earth? And I just thought, oh my God, it's like math class.
Yeah. Did you know the national animal of Scotland is a unicorn?
How about that? Did you know it took 3 years, 2 months, and 1 day to go from the very first tweet on Twitter to the 1 billionth?
Oh, gosh, that's incredible. Did you know the national animal of Wales is a dragon? Literally, for thousands of years, it's been a dragon. Do they ever actually have dragons?
I don't know, man. But
apparently, they did in Wales.
We got to wrap up. So, everybody have a great week. Meet us back here next weekend at the same time.
That's a fact. Hey, you know that. Check us out on social media, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. Just check us out. And leave us messages, too. Let us know what you'd like to hear. Alabama, we'll see.